We started.
Oh, please be seated. Wonderful to have all of you here today. All right, we'll get this sound figured out here. So, good deal. Wonderful to be with the saints this morning, huh? What about that music group, huh? Pretty good. Yeah, somebody really enjoyed it back there. Well, I want to bring up a subject that we all, I think all of us experience. And I trust in a very, very big way, and that's desire. Do you not all have certain desires? Oh, yes. We all have different desires. And you know what? God has desires too. And we'll look at that here in a moment. But we've got certain dreams, certain aspirations, certain desires that touch our heart that really makes a difference in our life, that brings purpose to who we are. So, how important is desire? It's a big deal. It's a real big deal. You know, I was young some time ago. Not that long ago. But when I was 12 years old, the reality of life and death hit me very hard because I wondered, what about life? What about death? What's going on here? Is there a God? Is there truth? Is there something that really fits, that works in life? And so this desire came big in my heart. And from that time, I looked at different churches. I went to different places, different churches, different philosophies. I don't know if you've ever heard of Ayn Rand, but I was a big follower with her for a short period of time. But I didn't see the truth there. I saw some interesting things, but I looked and I looked. And finally, somebody, when I was 20 years old, said, take a Bible class. Bible class? You know, I've been to a lot of different churches, and they, you know, they waved the Bible around and said, this is it, this is it. But it didn't make sense. Well, I said, okay, I'm hungry. I have a desire to know. I'm going to check it out. And this particular Bible class, whoo, opened my heart and eyes that this is truly the Word of God. That God exists, God loves us, God wants the best for us, that there's a life and a purpose to life that really makes sense, and that we can have great joy in our life as we look at His Word. So let's take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Most of the verses we'll have on the screen here. But this particular verse really hit home for me because it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Boy, that's quite a bold statement, isn't it? All Scripture inspired by God? Now the Greek word, many of you know this, for these particular English words is theopneustos. Theo is God. Pneustos is breathing, breath. So all Scriptures, God breathed. And we associate breath to life. Breath, life, right? So all the Scripture has life in it. And it has profit. And what's it profitable for? Doctrine. And doctrine is so we know what's right, right believing. Reproof, you know, when we mess up, we got to see where we've messed up. And then correction to get us back to right believing. And all of this is instruction in right living, righteousness, before God. Pretty neat, huh? Now, what's the purpose of the Word? And that's the next verse. That the man of God may be what? Perfect. Perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, I know this is in Timothy. Timothy is what we call a leadership epistle. And so, but this doesn't mean that if you're not a leader, this doesn't apply to you. It applies to everybody. It's a principle taught so that we all can have a life that's perfect. You like perfection? God's word is where you got to go. All right? That's where you got to go. All right? Hey, the Bible is not some big hoax. It's not something that man's made up, but it's God-breathed. It's got life. There's something really huge about God's word that makes all the difference in this life. Without the word of God, there is no life. There is truly no life. I don't care what religion or whatever philosophy you want to bring up. Without the word of God, there is no life. Because it's God-breathed. This is God's word. Let's go to Jeremiah 15. We've got this on the chart here. This takes place when Israel was pretty messed up. They had been taken into captivity. Things were horrible. Destruction. And the Israelites came back into Jerusalem and they found some scrolls, some scriptures, and this is the response they had. Thy words were found and I did eat them. I did do them. We talk about doers of the word. I ate them. I assimilated them in my life. And what was the results? Stomach ache? No way. It was the joy and rejoicing of my life, right? The rejoicing of my heart. That's life. And don't forget, for I am called by thy name. Somebody has called you, and he's called you by name. And that name is the Lord God of hosts. So we're talking about what's true and what's life rather than death. You know, God's word gives us living results like no other word. With the living word of God, man goes from eternal death to eternal life. He goes from being sick to being healed. He goes from being lost but found forever. That's what God's word does for all of us. What makes you a son of God with all power? Knowledge of God's word. What makes you more than a conqueror? The knowledge of God's word. What makes you have the ability that you can do all things through Christ? The knowledge of God's word. What gives you the ability to speak perfect words to your Heavenly Father? Knowledge of God's word. This is a phenomenal word. You know, I'm here to sell something today. What do you think I'm trying to sell today? The greatness of God's word. Really sow in your hearts that this scripture, this word is significant. It is the truth. It's not a way, but it is the way. Okay? There's some wonderful scriptures in Psalms 119. We're going to take a look at them. 119:25. We've got this on the screen. All right. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to what? And this word quicken in the old King James here, it means make alive. Make alive. Make alive. How do they make you alive? According to thy word. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. For the word hath quickeneth me, has made me alive. See, this is the living word of God. 159 in Psalm 119. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Some great things, huh? Okay. Where are we at here? We're at 50? Let's go to Psalms 119, 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken the... We did that, didn't we? Oh, there we go. There we go. And then 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. I didn't write the book. You know, this is the truth of God's word that's been around forever and ever. Nothing can compare to the truth of God's word. Nothing at all. Thy word is true from the beginning and to the end. Matthew 4:4 is a neat verse. Jesus Christ threw this into Satan's face. He answered and said, this is Jesus Christ talking to the adversary. He said, it is written, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, pizza, all that other stuff, pasta. Not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Hey, are you seeing this word of God is pretty significant, isn't it? Very significant. And then I love Hebrews 4:12. Daniel mentioned this verse here. Pretty neat. For the word of God is quick. For the word of God is quick. All right, we got to go backwards a little bit here, huh? I'm not there yet, so we got to go back to Hebrews 4:12. There we go. For the word of God is quick. Now, we know what quick means, right? Means alive, right? So the Word of God is alive. It's a living Word of God and is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Man, oh man, why would you not want to get into God's Word? Wow, man, oh man. So we talked about desire, didn't we? In the beginning, desire, having a desire to know what is true and right, having a desire to know who God is, having a desire of His Word so that you can know who He is and who you are in Christ. But God has a desire too. God Almighty has a desire in His heart, and that's 1 Timothy 2:4. All right, 1 Timothy 2:4. This is the ESV, who desires all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. This is what God desires. He wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody in the family of God. And then He wants them to know the Word a little bit. Because you can't know God unless you know His Word. And know who you are in Christ. Know your sonship rights. All the great truths that are in this word that pertains to your life being full in abundance. It comes through a knowledge of the truth, and God wants that for you. He'll open the door. If you have the desire, if you have the what it takes to look for God, He will make sure you find Him. And you'll find Him through a knowledge of His Word. That's for sure. Okay. God wants His family to know Him through His Word. And I'm real excited about the opportunity that we have this foundational Bible class that we're going to be presenting starting November the 1st. This class is very similar. It has a lot of what I learned originally a few years ago, when I was 20 years old, when I took this particular Bible class. It wasn't the same one, but very similar. So I'm excited for what is available for all of you that are going to be in that class. Okay, let's go to 1 John. And I think we just have in 1 John here, verse 1. And then we'll have to read verse 2 and 5. So if you got your Bibles, we're going to have to look at it. I'm going to have to go there myself. But in 1 John 1:1, that which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of what? The Word of God. The Word of God. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. And now verse 3, 4, and 5, which you have to look in your Bibles. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Full. God's into joy, isn't he? Verse 5, this then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. I know a lot of people will hang different negative things on God. You know, even insurance companies have this thing where it's the act of God, right? Not the true God. Maybe the devil, the adversary, he's the one that steals, kills, and destroys. But Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So God is light and in him is no darkness at all. You know, as we work the word, God encourages us to be workmen of that word. In 1 Timothy, or is it 1 Timothy? Yeah, 1 Timothy 2:15. Study. Study. We don't have 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy. There it is. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourselves approved unto God. This study means to have a diligent effort. Put a diligent effort. Have a desire to have yourself approved before God by doing what? Being a workman that you're not ashamed of your efforts, your work, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got to get it rightly divided. There's a lot of dividing of God's word, isn't there? It's a real challenge in our times. You have all these different interpretations of God's word. You know, how do you interpret God's word? Well, this class is going to really open your eyes to how this works. Because you and I don't have the privilege of interpreting what God's word says. You know who does? God does. And he does that in a wonderful way through the scriptures. You'll see that in the class big time. Yeah, really neat. Well, I want to close with Jeremiah. Now, we don't have any slides on this, but why don't you go to Jeremiah 36 if you have your Bibles. Okay. And we're going to look at this chapter. I'm going to, this section here is an interesting section that we'll see how God protects his word, that no way can anybody destroy his word, but he watches over his word. So, verse 1 says, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that the word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying. So here it is. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is in Peter. This is how we got the word of God. God told men of God what to write. And here we're seeing he's telling Jeremiah, hey, I want you to write something down here. Take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. You know, a lot of times, the Jews, the Israelites, were out of fellowship, right? They were just out there. And so they had, unfortunately, very negative results. And God warned them what would happen if they didn't get it together. Verse 3, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may, what? Forgive their iniquities and their sin. Now, I know sometimes you'll read in the Old Testament, it looks like God's going to do something negative. And this is just the way they wrote it in those days. But God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Amen. And his heart here is to what? Forgive them. Forgive them. But he's saying, if you screw up, you're going to get the results. And that's what he's communicating. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of book. And this would be a scroll in those days. So So Jeremiah gets from God the word, and Jeremiah speaks to Baruch. Oh, Baruch's writing it down in the scroll. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. The leaders, the king, did not like Jeremiah. So he hid. He had to hide himself. So he couldn't just come out and share what God had told him to write down. So he says, verse 6, therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplications before the Lord and will return every one from his evil ways, for great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against his people. He's saying, this is what's going to happen to you if you don't come back. And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Now this goes on here, and I don't want to be here too long today, but what happens here, Baruch goes and reads the word to the in the house of the Lord, to all the people that were there around in Jerusalem. Now later on, the king, he wasn't there, real religious guy, he wasn't going to be a part of it, but the king heard about this scroll being written, this word from Jeremiah. So he gets excited, and the princes, all the princes that are part of his group, his gang, they get together and they say, hey, we got to find out what in the world is going on here. So he sends this guy, Jehudi, to get the roll and to read it to the prince and to the king. So I'm jumping to verse 22. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Well, that's not a good way to treat God's word, is it? Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that had heard all these words. Didn't mean anything to them. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delilah and Jeremiah, I can't pronounce all these guys, had made intercession to the king and said that he should not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremel, the son of Hamalek, and Seraiah, the son of Azrael. I don't know why they have to show who they're sons of and all these relatives, but they do. Shelemiah, the son of Abdel, to take Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah, the prophet. But the Lord what? Boy, when the Lord hides them, nobody's going to find them, huh? Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. You know, the king, they burned all the word of God. It was gone. But the word came to Jeremiah, verse 27, after that the king had burned the roll and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. And so God gives him another word and actually gives him some more word, as we'll see. I'm going to jump to verse 32 to finish it out. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch, the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. So you can't get rid of God's word. No way. God's going to make sure his word lives no matter what's going on around him. And my exhortation for you this morning is have the Word live in your heart. Maybe you've experienced in times past some things that weren't real good in your church, in your fellowship. But I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's still the Word of God. This is the book of truth. And it behooves us to be workmen of the Word, to really have that heart desire to go to the Word and be workmen and find out how you can rightly divide this Word, that God does interpret His own Word. And how He does this is in here to help you understand His love and grace for you. So I hope you got the message this morning. Let's get into God's Word, huh? Okay, Father, thank You for how You do love us and how You've provided for us a Word of truth that makes sense, that we can incorporate it in our life, that we can experience Your joy. Man, oh man, we're just grateful that we can be Your sons and daughters and that we have no doubt about it. There's no question that You've made it available that we can know that we know that we really know that we are Yours forevermore. So thank You for these realities. I pray for Your people here, for blessing them, for working in their hearts' desire to know You more and more. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.